Gradually, the city became peopled, like one of those panoramic pictures at first desolate, but which, by a sudden change of light, become animated with personages previously invisible. Octavian's feelings had undergone a change. Only a short time before, amid the deceitful shadows of the night, he'd fallen a prey to that uneasiness from which the bravest are not exempt amid such disquieting and fantastic surroundings as reason cannot explain. His vague terror had ultimately yielded to a profound stupefaction. The distinctness of his perceptions forbade him to doubt the testimony of his senses, yet what he beheld seemed altogether contrary to reason. Feeling still but half convinced, he sought, by the authentication of minor actual details, to assure himself that he was not the victim of hallucination. Those figures which passed before his eyes could not be phantoms, for the living sun shone upon them with unmistakable reality, and their shadows, elongated in the morning light, fell upon the pavement and the walls. Without the faintest understanding of what had befallen him, Octavian, ravished with delight to find one of his most cherished dreams realized, no longer attempted to resist the fate of his adventure. He abandoned himself to the mystery of these marvels without any further attempt to explain them. He averred to himself that since he had been permitted, by virtue of some mysterious power, to live for a few hours in a vanished age, he would not waste time in efforts to solve an incomprehensible problem, and he proceeded fearlessly, gazing to right and left upon this scene at once so old and yet so new to him. But to what epoch of Pompeian life had he been transported? An Adela inscription engraved upon a wall showed him, by the names of public personages there recorded, that it was about the commencement of the reign of Titus, or in the year 79 of our own era. A sudden thought flashed across Octavian's mind. The woman whose mould he had seen in the museum at Naples must be living, inasmuch as the eruption of Vesuvius by which he had perished took place on the 24th of August in this very year. He might therefore discover her, behold her, speak to her. The mad longing which had seized him at the sight of that mass of cinders moulded upon a divinely perfect form was perhaps about to be fully satisfied, for surely naught could be impossible to a love which had had the strength to make time itself recoil and the same hour to pass twice through the sand glass of eternity. While Octavian was abandoning himself to these reflections, beautiful young girls were passing by on their way to the fountains, all balancing urns upon their head with their white fingertips, and patricians, clad in white togas bordered with purple bands, were proceeding toward the forum, each followed by an escort of clients. The buyers commenced to throng about the booths, which were all designated by sculptured or pictured signs, and recalled by reason of their shape and small dimensions, the Mauresque booths of Algiers. Over most of them, a glorious phallus of baked and painted clay, together with the inscription Hic Habitat Felicitas, testified to superstitious precautions against the evil eye. Octavian also noticed an amulet shop, whose shelves were stocked with horns, bifurcated branches of coral, and little figures of Priapus in gold, like those worn in Naples even at this day as a safeguard against the jettatura, and he thought to himself that a superstition often outlives a religion. Following the sidewalk which borders each street in Pompeii, and deprives the English of all claim to this invention, Octavian suddenly found himself face to face with a beautiful young man of about his own age, clad in a saffron-coloured tunic and a mantle of snowy linen as supple as cashmere. The sight of Octavian in his frightful modern hat, girthed about with a scanty black frock coat, his legs confined in pantaloons, and his feet cramped in well-polished boots, seemed to surprise the young Pompeian in much the same way as one of us would feel astonished to meet on the Boulevard de Gain some Iowa Indian or native of Butacudo, bedecked